Becky Schaefer had a rough childhood. At the age of 12, she was placed in a children's home. When she graduated from her Christian high school, she was expected to leave the home and move on. With no better idea of a place to go, she went to college. Mostly because, as she said, she needed a place to live. She referred to that first semester as being in survival mode. She quickly got into a romantic relationship, and by Christmas of that year, she was married and expecting her first child. Becky knows firsthand the difficulties girls face when transitioning from girlhood to adulthood without the support of a parental system. She and her husband, they're still married 25 years later, moved to Northwest Arkansas from Oklahoma 5 years ago. In Oklahoma, they had once been the house parents at a children's home. Becky knew that she wanted to continue her ministry to young people in need, but was unsure of the path to take until, as she says, she received a sign from God.
So I worked at Hobby Lobby, and my husband worked at John Brown University, and we were sitting having coffee before we both ran off to our different jobs, and he just said, "Sweetheart, you know, what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do?" And I just was like, "Babe, I want to go do this thing called Saving Grace. You know that I want to do that." And I said, "Can't we just ask God for a sign that he would, show me that this is the way?" So he kind of did that with his tongue in his cheek and was like, "Yes, Lord, show Becky the way, blah, 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 send her a sign." So I went to work, still a little bit heavy-hearted, and was cutting fabric for a lady.
Becky started talking with that lady and sharing her experiences and dreams. The woman told her, "You have to do that." 4 hours later, she returned to the Hobby Lobby store to bring Becky a literal sign that read, "Amazing Grace." And that was the start of Saving Grace, a Rogers home for girls who have aged out of foster care or who are otherwise homeless. Within 6 weeks of that meeting, the organization was formed, complete with 501c3 status, and a lease was signed on the building behind what was St. Mary's Hospital. That is now the Center for Nonprofits. The building is the former convent space for the hospital's nuns. Unable to take in everyone, though anyone can apply, there are reference checks and interviews to determine who can come to live at the house. Opening just over 4 years ago, around 10 girls have graduated from the program, and there are currently 10 more girls who call the former convent home.
For the most part, they do all their own cooking. We do have evenings where we have dinner with friends, and so a group of people that have built relationships with them and they kind of know come in and cook dinner with them. And every Thursday night, we invite everybody home for dinner, just like we would at Mom and Dad's. So that's kind of how we have it set up.
This is so much more than a home. It's a program that acts as stand-in parents, teaching the girls the way of adult life, with skills such as budgeting, paying rent, buying a car, being responsible at work and in school, skills many of these girls would be forced to learn on their own or not at all. On average, 290 young adults age out of foster care each year in the state of Arkansas, often without the skills and resources they need to sustain themselves for the long term. The program is generally 2 years, but some stay in for three. Graduates are welcome to come back for classes that are held in the convent's former chapel. Thanks to a grant from the Walmart Family Foundation, the chapel has been converted into a classroom complete with computers.
If you were in here last night, we cleaned everything up last night, but for the last 8 weeks, we've been doing kind of an art therapy project with them called Soul Restoration. There were tables covered in plastic and paint and glitter and all kinds of stuff. Then they'll start on their financial piece again. So that's this room, the classroom.
Rounding a corner to the right is the residence hallway, where each girl has her own room, complete with a key to that room. Three of the 14 rooms are currently empty, and these doors are wide open. Becky steps into one of them. Inside, there's a twin bed, a rocking chair, and a dresser. It's decorated in grays, blues, and greens, complete with a decorative owl pillow.
All the rooms are set up in such a way that everybody has their own living space. So there's only one girl to a bedroom. They have their own key to the door. There's a sink. We have four bathrooms, though, for 14 rooms. So do the math. So they brush their teeth, wash their face, and all that stuff in their own bedrooms.
Residents must pay rent, 20% of their income. At just past 9:30 in the morning, the hallway is quiet. Everyone is either at work or at school. Two are still in high school, others are getting their GED, attending community college or a vocational school, such as cosmetology or school to become a nursing assistant. Those that have chosen education receive an incentive, Their rent is paid by the organization, as it sees education as one of the biggest ways to break the cycle of poverty.
Essentially, that's what we're doing. We're taking the sons and the daughters of Northwest Arkansas who are impoverished, who have been impoverished for generations, and breaking the chains. And it's difficult. It takes time. Our program is 2 years long. It takes time for them to get to the point where they can stand on their own.
The girls are not allowed to be on food stamps or other government assistance while in the program.
The cool thing when they finish our program, even if they've had the education incentive and we've waived their rent, all the rent every month goes into what we call a little escrow account for them. And so when they leave, they get a large portion of that money back. So our program is in some cases, it's 3 years long, just depending on the wounds of their childhood. If they have been here for two and a half years or whatever, all that money, even if they've been in the education incentive the whole time, that money still goes into an escrow account, and they'll get up to about $2,000.
But they also pay their first month's rent and utility deposits when they move out, just like many parents do for their own kids. Across the hallway from this first bedroom is a locked door. Behind it, my sister's closet, a boutique-like room filled with donations from vendors or members of the community. Girls can earn sister bucks for things like showing up on time, doing their homework, or being a good sister. The program teaches hard work for rewards so that when they're out on their own, they don't expect handouts. The boutique has age-appropriate clothes, those for 17 to 25-year-olds. I see labels like Forever 21, Abercrombie & Fitch, and American Eagle. Though when they first arrive here, Saving Grace will buy them necessities like underwear and socks if they come with none. Taking another right turn will bring you to the living room, furnished in part with donations from Coca-Cola International. It's homey and cozy. The place is picked up and clean.
When you're simply looking for food and shelter, that's safe shelter, you can't think past anything else. You can't dream. You can't have goals. It's like impossible. Your brain doesn't allow you to do that. And so in those first few weeks, they're very much in survival mode, and they either want to hide out in their rooms and just kind of sleep all the time, or they leave, they run all the time. They're constantly on the go. And both of those are hard to deal with. And it's when they first come, it just takes a few weeks for them to kind of get in the swing of things and know that our expectations are real and they're set, and we're not going to change the standards.
Becky says one of the harder things for the girls to adjust to is having someone check in on them and asking just how things are going.
But our focus is really, very literally, the girl that's in front of us. And so we focus on being the one to that one girl. Because if we invest in her long enough, the ripple effect of her success goes out into not just her family for generations, but this community for generations, and that's so important to us.
Girls that graduate will have a mentor for life and always have the opportunity to return to Saving Grace for continuing education or advice. Their logo is a butterfly. There's that story of a caterpillar. If it's forced out of its cocoon before it's ready, the butterfly will be crippled for life.
And so many times, these girls have been violated in such a way that they have been ripped out of the cocoons of their childhood and thrust into adulthood, sometimes at elementary ages. And so we just see we're continually here doing kind of triage to help get those wounds healed and get them where they need to be successful as adults.
Though it is a Christian organization, residents are not required to be a Christian or to attend church, though they must be involved with a civic organization of some sort. 100% of Saving Grace's income comes from private community support, 1/3 of its annual budget coming from the event Butterflies and Blooms. This year's luncheon is set for Thursday, April 17th at the John Q. Hammond Center in Rogers. The speaker is Mary DeMuth, who wrote a memoir entitled Thin Places. It traces the winding path of thin places in her life. Thanks to generous corporate support, the community is invited to attend the luncheon as Saving Grace's guests, but they are asked to RSVP.
Year before last, we had 440 guests at our luncheon. Last year, we had 840. This year, we are already over 1,000.
To RSVP to Butterflies and Blooms, call the organization at 479-636-1133. For more information on Saving Grace or to apply to the program, visit savinggracenwa.org. This is Ozarks at Large.